This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, so I want to play a little game with you. We're going to go, Timmy, he's going to play the role of the old school. And Jeff, being the younger, you're going to be the new school. We're just going to go through a few topics. Just got to touch on them. I'll go to Tim first. Ohtani situations. What do you make of it?
I'm really sad that baseball had to go through this when we should be celebrating everything on the field, as opposed to a week there, all we talked about was everything going on off the field. I'm guessing, we're all guessing, but my guess is that Ohtani had very, very little to do with this. He trusted a friend who betrayed him, and I think that's where we are now, but we have 1,000 more questions that need to be answered, and those questions have to be asked very soon.
Jeff, new school take.
I very much agree with my dad in this, and when we debated bringing it up on our podcast, you know, we wanted to talk about opening day stories and the history of it. We both kind of leaned on the same way. Unfortunately, sometimes you just trust the wrong people, and I kind of felt that way. When you lend a friend money, I've learned this lesson, you should never expect to get it back when it's a friend.
Yeah, and my thing is this, I'm a little conflicted on it because I'm sitting there thinking, man, he had to know. I can't square it in my brain. Now, Timmy, I think your advice is the best. It's going to work out. The people have it in their hands. It's all going to come out in the wash, whatever that may be. But, you know, following games now the way I do and watching, you know, game after game after game, and the mainstream MLB has partnered with so many gambling entities is from an advertising perspective. It seems to me that anything, you know, now if Ohtani, and I think the last thing, this is what pissed me off in the beginning, the line drawn to a Pete Rose. It's like, wait a minute, we're not there. We're not even talking about betting on baseball. Anything short of that for me, I think right now with baseball, it's not 1985 where any sort of gambling was taboo. Major League Baseball has kind of embraced gambling. They have a lot of sponsorship from gambling. There's gambling in the stadium. And if it's anything short of betting on baseball, it's like, to me, it's kind of a conflict of interest here. Like, you're promoting this. How are you going to handle it? So that's just my take on it. But anyway, it'll all work out. And I just want to see it rectified, get the facts out there. I know it's in other authorities' hands right now. We'll see what happens. Let's see. What do I got next? All right, we'll go Jeff next time. Yankees get off to a 5-0 start. They sweep Houston at home to start the season. Missed the playoffs a year ago. Also, the Pittsburgh Pirates start off 5-0, and we all know last year in a weak division, the Pirates started off like gangbusters. Thoughts on those two starts? Yankees, Pirates, different sides of the ledger.
I have to say, whether it's baseball or just us regular guys, nobody has had a better start to a job than Juan Soto has had. I mean, that's like going in there if you work in sales and closing $1 million deal on your first day on 20% commission. You're just cashing checks. And it, I mean, the New York, you mentioned Philly. They'll hate to hear this, but Philly and New York fans are very similar about the way they feel about their team, how passionate they are. They'll boo their own team more than the other team's fans are going to boo the Phillies or the Yankees. So the start and the excitement is so important. And then you see the Astros get swept at home and then a no-hitter. This is what makes baseball so amazing, is the flukiness of it. 162 games. You never know what's going to happen at the end of the season, but you also never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Booney, you could probably speak to this about, you might have an 0-for-5 day and you say, I don't know what's wrong with me. But then the next day you go out and get 3 extra base hits and you think, well, it's just baseball. That's the way it is. So as exciting as it is to start the season 5-0 and be excited, like all I'm seeing on my feed right now is Yankees content and Pirates content. That's great, because if you weren't thinking about going to the game this weekend in Pittsburgh because you live 30 minutes outside the city, you're probably going to go because you want to see how many wins they can get in a row to start the season. It's huge. It's exciting, but it's also worth remembering it's a long season.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff on Soto. An amazing, he reached base 12 times in the first 4 games and made the biggest defensive play of the series. And the emotion that I saw from Verdugo, Judge, and Soto when they ran off the field after won the 4th game in a row in Houston, I didn't see that kind of emotion once last year because they didn't have that kind of bonding experience. I really like the Yankees. The key is going to be, can they hold on until they can get Gerrit Cole back? And what's he going to look like when he comes back? As for the Pirates, Brett, I'm in on the Pirates now. That is such a winnable, weak division that I've seen some things from them. That Jared Jones guy struck out 10 in his major league debut. They got Paul Skeens in the minor leagues. He'll be up before you know it. I'm already, after 1 week, throwing the Pirates into the division race in the Central, and I didn't feel that way before the season started, but I've already seen enough to think I think they have a chance to contend.
It'd be great. It'd be great for the game. All right. This is an interesting question. We're going to go to the Yankees. We're going to go with Timmy first. Old school take. Yankees, the sentiment is they need to win every year. Well, we here in Yankee land, we either win a World Series or bust. It's 2024. Do you still look at it that way?
I don't look at it that way for the Yankees. Look, I understand they've won 27 world championships and they haven't won since 2009. I understand that. I understand they almost finished under 500 last year, but I'm not putting them in that category of disappointing season if they don't win the World Series. Plus, we have another team in the major leagues, the Dodgers, that kind of fits that category. If the Dodgers don't win the World Series, the disappointment there will be much greater than if the Yankees don't win the World Series.
Jeff, give me the younger perspective, maybe even the generation that didn't grow up with a George Steinbrenner where that's what it was expected. It's different now. Even me, I've been in this game my whole life. 2024, it's different. The landscape is different. It's not the big guy that just beats up on you every year. You know, I went to USC. And when I got to USC, man, you look at the national championships for the baseball team. They have more than like every other college combined, but that was then. Nowadays, that's not realistic. Your take?
Well, I think it's just like any other sport. I think March Madness might be the greatest thing besides baseball in October. And there's a reason why these small schools end up pulling these massive upsets. It's because they have no pressure. If they even stay in the game for one half, it's seen as a victory. And so when you get these teams like the World Series last year, you've got the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. For the most part, two teams that were not really expected to be there, but they got through the playoffs because the pressure was off. I couldn't imagine the pressure of playing in New York. I couldn't imagine the pressure of playing in Los Angeles this year. Because at the end of the day, the expectation is that not only will Tim silence his cell phone during podcast, but also the expectation is win or we'll boo you. And so there's no doubt in my mind. I think it will always stay with the New York Yankees that we got to win. We got to make the playoffs every year. We're the New York stinking Yankees. That's what it's going to be. And if the Dodgers do not make it to the World Series, it will be a fail of a season. And I'm not saying that's my opinion. I disagree with that, but that's the reality that these fans have. When Garrett Cole went down before the season even started, they were all, it's all done. We stink. We're not going to. And that's the overreaction of the fans. But anything less than a World Series berth is going to be a disappointment for both of these teams.
Unwritten rules in baseball for Jeff, younger generation. Are they outdated?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't necessarily think they're outdated, but I do think that they change with time. I think there is mutual respect between players still, and it's important. I was a Little League umpire, Booney, for years. It was the coolest thing ever because it gave me a perspective on the game that not a lot of people get a chance to have. And there are unwritten rules when it comes to flaunting your way up the first baseline after you hit a home run. Now, I'll tell you, in the few years I played baseball, I never hit a home run. So I never had to worry about, flaunting a little too much and having my dad get mad at me on the ride home. I don't think they're outdated. I think they're important, but I do think that they are changing. And it's important to change with the game. Just like how we're speeding up Major League Baseball right now, we're changing with the game. The unwritten rules will change too. There are some that will stand the test of time, but there are also some that need to be changed. I think it's fun. Sorry, a young guy, when Batista does a bat flip, it's the coolest thing ever. I think it's fun. And he's doing it to pump up the crowd and his players, I believe, and not to give a big F you to the pitcher. It's fun for the fans. Let them have a little more fun when it comes to those moments. As long as it's, I think, in good spirit.
Yeah, and I was all for the Batista bat flip, but that was like the second biggest home run in the history of the Blue Jays.
Okay? Hey, we're getting old school now.
Right. Now, I have a little bit of an issue when we're bat flipping in the second inning of a game in early May when it's 11 to nothing. I don't think we necessarily need to do that, but I'm not a fun hater. I understand how things work. Buck Showalter taught me that if the players don't mind that this is happening against the other team, then I'm not going to worry about it either. So if the players aren't offended that somebody is Cadillacing it around the bases, then neither's the manager and neither am I. I just know I saw it a different way almost 50 years ago.
You know, it was interesting. I recently had Buck Showalter on. Now he's back with MLB Network. And we talked about that because I know how Buck thinks. And we think a lot alike. We come from that generation. And, he's up until last year, he was in the current generation. And he made a good point. He said, Booney, you know what I do now when something happens on the field that I know years ago would result in somebody's going down? He said, I look down my bench. If my players are okay with it, well, then they're okay with it. You got to change with the game. If the players aren't offended by a bat flip, if the players have a problem with a particular play, well, then who are we to tell them they need to have a problem? It's their game. You've got to change with the game. And Buck said that was a big thing for him coming back and managing in recent time. The Mets in 2022 and 23 said, I got to change with the players or this game will run me over. I thought that was a really interesting point. Last one for you. We'll go with Tim first. Dodgers have built somewhat of a super team, and they've done it kind of smartly, if that's even a word. They did it with deferring money way out and allowing to have these big salary players with Ohtani as the example, making $2 million a year so they can make room for other guys. Give me your old school take on that.
Well, it's legal to do that, so it's hard to argue with what the Dodgers did because it makes all the sense in the world. But being an old man, I think we need to make an adjustment to that deferred money rule because the gap between the big market teams and the small market teams is enormous. And it got bigger with what the Dodgers were able to do with Ohtani's contract. So legally, there you can't argue with it. They were smart to do that. I think we need to examine that rule and see if any team should be allowed to do that again.
Jeff? I think it's pretty cool, even as a fan of the Phillies at this point in my life, is I think I get a chance to witness perhaps the greatest starting four players in a lineup in maybe baseball history. I mean, this is rivaling some of the greatest combos to start a lineup in history. Dad, I think you even said, if I'm not mistaken, either on Baseball Tonight or on a podcast, saying that this might be the best. So for me, I agree with the deferred payments. It scares me because it's a genius deal. Ohtani wants to win, and he says, I'll do it. It's like when Tom Brady adjusts his contract in the middle of the season to say, we got to go get this guy. Okay, I'll take less money in order to do it. But our generation, we're trying to be very savvy with investments. A lot of my friends are on Robinhood, and they're investing their money very clever, and they're investing in real estate. That's the side hustle is a real thing. And one of my buddies looked at me and said, it's genius. And I asked him, why do you think that? I know why I think that, but why do you think that? He goes, well, he's not going to pay California state taxes. After the contract's over, they have to pay him where he lives. So he's going to go move to somewhere where the tax rate's next
Florida,
to nothing.
Florida, Texas.
Go to Florida. Go to live in Austin, Texas. Go join Joe Rogan out there. It's really, I thought it was so funny that he was thinking it strictly from a financial standpoint at that measure. It's pretty clever.
Before I let you go, Tyler Kepner, myself, we just came out with our bold predictions for 2024. I'm not going to tell you what they were. 80% chance it'll be wrong. I want a bold prediction from Jeff first and then Tim. Bold prediction for the 2024 Major League Baseball season.
This is going to really upset some friends of mine who live in this area. But my bold prediction, I really believe that after getting crushed by the Braves this year to start the season, I really feel like they're going to take the NL East without a doubt. They're going to beat the Dodgers in the NLCS, and they're going to win a World Series this year. It's hard to ignore the power and the strength of their lineup and the consistency across the board. I hate to say it, and I do not want it to be true, and I can feel my soul crumbling. I'm shocked my wife, who's working from home upstairs, isn't pounding on the floor saying, I can't believe you would say that about our Phillies, but I just can't imagine after all of these years of developing this team. They're just too good to lose at this point. And then I think when Ohtani's back as a pitcher next season, then it's going to be all over. But that's my bold prediction, that they'll finally figure it out and not lose in the playoffs like they have the last two seasons with a better team, with arguably the best team. They'll figure it out this year.
All right, we've already done mine in a way about the Pirates being right in the middle, but I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to say the Tigers are going to be really strong contenders in the very winnable American League Central. And I didn't even see that a week ago, but the way they played already, the way their lineup is put together, young pitching that they have, I think the Tigers have a chance to actually win that division. And I would have never said that a month ago.
Very cool. Well, Tim, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Your new podcast, who do you got coming up on the show, and where can the listeners find it?
Well, this is so exciting. We just had Chris Young, general manager of the Texas Rangers. Next week, we get John Smoltz on leading up to Masters Week. He has 11 hole-in-ones. I mean, that's just absurd to think about. So we're going to talk golf with him. We're going to talk being a Hall of Fame pitcher, but more importantly, about playing golf with Tiger Woods, for goodness sake. So I'm really excited about that. You can get your podcast wherever you're listening right now, wherever you get your podcast. You can go to greatgameorwhat.com. Super easy to find us. We have so much fun, and we love that people are along for the journey with us.
All right, Timmy, Jeff.
Thank you, Brad.
Tim and Jeff.
Have a great time.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. For those of you listening, watching the Boone podcast, I appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, keep it right here.